The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello. This certainly isn't how I envision this or plan this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away. Sorry.
That was August 25, 2019. Still only 29 years old at the time Andrew Luck retires from football after 7 seasons. And he has been, for the most part, absent from public view. Every once in a while, sidelines at a Stanford game.
Right.
Every once in a while, you see him somewhere. And it's like seeing a hummingbird. Right? He's there. Oh, look. And he's gone. And then you wait. And then here comes another hummingbird like a year later. Oh, wait, it's there. And then he's gone. It feels like when I look at some of the things he's had to say after making his first public appearance in Indianapolis since August 25 of 2019 at Chuck Pagano's Chuck Strong tailgate gala, he is now ready to be involved in football again. He feels like he has to give back to the sport that gave him so much, even though he retired, still in his prime, still with plenty of years left in his career. You and I and the rest of the NBC crew were at his final game ever played in Kansas City. No one had any idea it was the last we would see of Andrew Luck in the 2018 divisional playoffs. And I think he's going to be back around now. In what form? I don't know, not as a player, but we're going to see him and hear from him, I think, Chris, more and more moving forward. Friday night was kind of his return to football, and reading the words he said and reading between the lines or the tea leaves, as the case may be, I got the impression we're going to see a lot more of Captain Andrew Luck.
Yeah, hopefully. Dearest Mueller, we don't want that to die. We don't. I mean, you know.
Bring it back.
I feel like He was probably a little reluctant to show his face. You know, he was kind of the villain in Indianapolis for the way that he got out of there, right? I mean, they're a team that was kind of in the Super Bowl window and left them high and dry. And I think, you know, of course, those fans were a little bit bitter about it for a while, which I understand. They should be. Definitely. But hopefully time has passed by. People respect the decision, all of that, and he's in a good place mentally. But, yeah, he was obviously worn out and just couldn't take it anymore. But it's unprecedented what he did. I mean, we have never seen that. Not in football. Not at that position. Quarterback in their prime, definitely one of the five best quarterbacks in football. An incredible start to the career. One of those guys that kind of came into the league and was like, eh, I'm really damn good right away. I'm already one of the better ones in the league. A little bit like we saw C.J. Stroud do this past year. And then just to, yeah, year seven, see you later, I'm out of here. It's still shocking. It really is. He had a really unbelievable quick run as a player.
By the way, I do have to express my disappointment in the Captain Andrew Luck X account. 441,000 followers. And nothing after Friday night. Now, maybe Captain Andrew Luck is busy with other things, off, you know, collecting squirrel oil. I don't know. But I would have expected something that Chris could read
seriously
for us this morning from the Captain Andrew Luck account. How dare you? How dare you, Captain Andrew Luck? Okay. Boy, I was going to say something. It was going to be a really good point, and I got diverted with the talk.
Squirrel oil.
Squirrel oil.
Yeah.
But – you know, I feel like this is a guy who just understands. I can't remember what it is. I feel like if I keep talking long enough, it'll come back to me. Don't you hate that feeling?
Yeah, I did. I had it last
really
week.
Good
one time.
Freaking point to
right.
make. I had a great point to make. But well, let's play this shot, and maybe on the back end, I'll remember exactly what the hell it is that I was trying to say. Here's Andrew Luck on if he has ever considered returning and playing professional football since that abrupt retirement in 2019.
I think when I retired, that part of it was put to bed in my mind in a very simple sort of direct. There was a lot of complications around it, you know, certainly tormented inside, you know, and as you guys saw, you know, that night. But I think that part of it has stayed. Football gave me a lot. Most importantly, again, the relationships and the experiences with people that I loved, like Chuck. I mean, I think part of me feels, and I don't mean this in a cheesy way, but part of me feels like, you know, it's my turn to give back into this game, and this is what feels right at this moment.
I mean, there it is. He's at a microphone for the first time in 4.5 years. He's out there talking. It's my turn to give back. And I remembered now. Oh, I feel so good when I remember something that was just not anywhere in my brain. Because at my age, you start wondering, is this the start? Is this how it starts? Is this the beginning? You mentioned that he was kind of a villain for a while. You know, I'm still pissed on his behalf that somebody leaked to Shefty during that preseason game that Luck was retiring. Because he had to walk off the field to a cascade of boos that night. Let the guy walk away on his own terms. Whoever it was that leaked that, F you for doing that to this kid. I mean, seriously, F you for doing that and forcing this kid to walk out and be booed off the field. His last time in Indianapolis, he's booed off the field because somebody vindictively, that's the only explanation for it, vindictively wanted to get it out there during the game that Andrew Luck was retiring. That still pisses me off to this day. And I don't know if he's pissed off about it. He's never said anything about it. But, I mean, if you're not pissed off about that, you don't have a pulse. That had to be infuriating. He still has to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
That he didn't,
yeah.
You know, he didn't get, they all want to go on their own terms. And he was going to go on his own terms, and somebody dropped the turd in the punch bowl before he had a chance to do it. And he got booed off the field his last time at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a tough situation. You know, I know he got booed off the field, but they let him keep all his money that he didn't really necessarily.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
we don't know how that worked out.
They came to a deal a little bit, I'm pretty sure. They certainly didn't ask for any back. He might have not got all that he got, but they were in their right to ask for money back, and they didn't do that. We do know that. So, you know, it's passion about the sport. We know that. I agree with you, though. Somebody within the Colts organization who was pissed off about it sent it out and made it public to put some pressure on him, or they were just angry or vindictive or whatever. Definitely. You're right. I mean, it was a weird way to go out, certainly, but that was a tough thing by him to do to the organization, too. I can't deny that. I mean, they invested in him. They thought he was the guy, right? The organization was, wait, we just lost to the Chiefs in the divisional game. We're going to be really good for a lot of years to come. And then he left and, yeah, put their organization in a bad spot and certainly put Frank Reich in a really tough spot, who took the job primarily going, wait, I got Andrew Luck, this is great. And he had to deal with a revolving door of quarterback. So that was one of the tougher situations I've seen, that's for sure.
To apply a minor twist to that great quote from Bo Scarborough a few weeks ago, football owes me a lot, but I don't owe football anything. It's just a ball. I mean, when you're ready to retire, you retire. If you no longer have the appropriate mindset to go out there, even though it's not like stepping into the mixed martial arts octagon, you still have to have the right state of mind to play football at any level, especially at the highest level. And for whatever reason, if Andrew Luck doesn't want to do it, that should be fine with everyone. He's making the decision. We've used the word conscientious a few times today. How about that? And bad lucky. But does it balance out? I don't know. But the fact that he made the conscientious decision that he no longer wanted to play is something that should have been respected at all levels. And whoever leaked it knew or should have known what was going to happen. It was going to cause a shitstorm on a Saturday night during a preseason game. It was going to cause a ripple effect through the crowd, and there was going to be a reaction to it. And I'd love to know who did it. I hope whoever did it feels bad about it 4.5 years later, because that was not the way to respect somebody who is making the conscientious decision that it is no longer for him to play professional football.
I think where they were bitter, right, if I can take myself back and remembering some of the things I heard from certain, is that you know, these feelings were probably there all off season. Why did we wait until we're into preseason game number 4 for them to come out? And now you've left us in a spot where we can't do anything and we're really stuck with our team and our quarterback. You know, I remember that, hearing some of that from people I knew in the league a little bit. That's where the bitterness, I think, from the Colts came. Was like, were these thoughts in your mind in March and April? Why didn't you tell us then? You know, why did you wait till you get to camp? And then we started to have conversations why we were kind of like significantly into camp, and it went from there. And I think that's where it rubbed people the wrong way in Indianapolis, where they felt like, hey, we've committed to you. We made you the guy. We gave you this big contract. And damn, you couldn't give us a little warning here and not ruin our organization for a few years? I think that's where things got a little contentious. Whoa, look at me, big word.
Wow.
Yeah.
But let me take it from the player's perspective.
Yeah, sure.
I think from the individual's perspective, yeah, any individual that is going through this angst, this turmoil, this conflict.
Right.
What am I going to do? I want to keep playing, but man, I really, you know, I'm constantly in rehab. I'm constantly injured. I've had all these surgeries now, and it's only going to get worse. I'm only 29. Should I walk away while I can still literally walk? And you go through it and you dread it. And what am I going to do? And when am I going to do it? And all these people I'm going to be letting down. And you're holding back against the dam as best you can until the dam finally breaks. And my guess would be that there were people in the organization who missed the signs from Andrew Luck. Because what happens is, when someone is going through that, am I really, you know, is this right for me? What am I going to do? There will be clues and there will be hints. And if you're paying attention, you will catch them. And so, yes, you could say, well, you know, oh God, he really screwed the Colts. But, you know, he was in a human moment, making a human
decision.
Yeah,
I hear you there. I know.
And
right. And
maybe he did everything he could. I mean, you know, I'm trying to hold it together as best I can. I have an obligation to this team. I'm going to go play.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And he gets right up against it, and it's like, my heart just isn't in it. And that would have been the worst possible thing for him to go forward with a football season where his heart's not in it, his mind's not in it, his soul's not in it. That would have been the worst possible outcome for him. And hey, let's flip it around. Teams cut players all the time. Oh, bought a new house?
That's right.
Pack it up and move.
No, I know.
Oh, wait. You loaned money to the family member who's building a house, and oh, sorry, you're cut now. you have your financial planning and you have a trust and you, oh, sorry, get the hell out of here. That $10 million you thought you were going to make this year, bye-bye, you're not getting it now. So it goes both ways.
No, I know
that. Teams disrupt the lives of players all the time.
Yep.
If one player decides he's going to do the right thing for himself and God forbid it disrupts the team, deal with it. Because you do it all the time, not you, Chris. Teams do it all the time to the players. They don't like it when the tables get turned on them. That's where whoever got pissed off at him didn't think of it that way. We turn guys' lives upside down all the time. God forbid someone should make our life a little more difficult without us being ready for it. Maybe now you know how the players feel. Maybe be a little more compassionate toward the players instead of just treating them like pieces of a machine. Where'd that come from?
I hear you there. I do. It's a brutal sport, we know, and it's usually brutal on the players. And I'm certainly not one to be too mad when it gets turned around.
You got it. They didn't pay you. Didn't pay you in Tampa, and then you don't have a spleen anymore, and you can't help them anymore, and you're gone.
No, I'm. You're exactly right. I feel for that always, and yeah, I think to your point, that's probably what was going through Andrew Luck's head. Like, wait, I don't know. I'm going to try to do this. So what's going on? Why is my passion not there? And as you start to get through training camp, you start to realize, wait, it's not there. It's not coming back. Oh, man, I really can't do this anymore. And, you know, it all just came to that pinnacle. And, hey, just glad he's happy now. Certainly glad he's happy now. And the Colts, hey, they found a quarterback to replace him, it looks like, by all due accounts, and Anthony Richardson. They got back on their feet. Chris Ballard's done a good job there rebounding, while also them staying pretty relevant through this whole damn thing, too, which was pretty impressive by them. I got to give them credit for that.
And what's amazing is the current backup to Anthony Richardson, several years older than Andrew Luck even now. I mean, that's the thing. Luck could still come back and play. He's shown no inclination to do it, and I think he stayed away for 5 years because, like, I don't want to be tempted.
Yeah.
So I need to have that break so when I do go back around football, it's not going to pull me back in. Because he's still young enough to play. He could play another 10 years. Hell, he's got 5 years of no wear and tear on his body. He could play into his 40s if he wanted to, but I think he's at peace now or he wouldn't be the moth back floating in the vicinity of the football flame. Let's take a break. When we return, earlier we talked about misadventures in social media that may be sending a message from a player to a team. Could another player be inadvertently disclosing his team's draft strategies on social media? We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. I mean, I think the best TV is two guys who have decent chemistry. I think of the story. Hang on, let me finish. Who have real conversations. Being a baby. Let me talk. Who from time to time will naturally get a little, there'll be a little heat.
Josh Allen's going to call out a player
like a
at a post-game press.
This is just what we do.
It's football man argument stuff.
It's, you know what?
Good job.
At first, I think that's not very catchy, but football man argument stuff, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Football man argument stuff. I like that. that was about 11 days ago when things got a little sideways.
Little sideways. Felt like I won that argument. You know, once you started saying Aaron Rodgers was a great leader, I knew I had you. Whoa.
By the way, he's in the building.
Whoa, is he? Are you sure? Are you sure it's him?
Well, if that's even him.
Oh, I know.
Might not be him.
I'm not sure. It might be a conspiracy upon a conspiracy. It's a Rodgers lookalike of the Rodgers lookalike. I don't know.
Is that him? I'm just applying my Aaron Rodgers
prism. I can't even see him with the camouflage. I'm not sure.
I mean, look, let's just assume everything is a lie. Nothing is what it seems ever. That's the Aaron Rodgers approach to the world. So there's a chance that's not him. We have to at least entertain the possibility.
I don't even know this. What was his recent thing? He thinks it's a Joe Biden imposter. Is that what I read? What is it?
He said the country's in a bad place and it's not going to get better with Weekend at Bernie's, who can barely put a sentence together, if that's even him. That was the quote from some podcast, some Love Yourself and Hate Everybody Else podcast that Aaron Rodgers was on not that long ago. That's not the official title of the podcast. I think it's I Can Fly.
Oh, really? That's podcast. Not the official title? No, Love Yourself and Hate Everybody Else?
Football man argument stuff. What the hell? I don't know. We can come up with some good titles today. Okay. Let's stay in the AFC East. That's the only transition I can come up with here. Von Miller recently on social media suggested that Bills GM Brandon Bean wants to trade up to draft a receiver. Miller posted a viral meme on Instagram with the caption, "Brandon Bean arriving to the 2024 NFL draft to trade up for a receiver in Bean we trust." Now, this has some extra legitimacy because Brandon Bean talks to Von Miller about this stuff. Remember, Von Miller just kind of showed up at the combine a year or two ago. He wants to learn that end of the business, and they've kind of taken him in and they talked to him about it. So maybe he has been clued into some stuff, and maybe he inadvertently or intentionally let the cat out of the bag. But, you know, we said that after the Bills traded Stephon Diggs. You can't just sit there at 28. You've got a blinking red light. We want a receiver. We want a receiver. The only way you're going to get that guy is when the guy you like is still on the board, a team you'll do a deal with that will do a deal with you is on the clock. You jump up while the pick's on the clock, and you get that pick, and you take that guy. You don't have to worry about somebody jumping you to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's definitely one of the things I'm most excited about to see next Thursday when the round one comes, is what Buffalo's going to do when we start to get to the teens part of the draft, 16, 17, 18. I'll definitely be, ooh, is Buffalo going to make a move? Or are they going to stand pat and then, you know, try to get somebody in the second round that they feel like can help their football team? You've heard me say, though, I think that there is a clear line of demarcation between the top four receivers and then the next group, right? I like Roman Wilson. I like Xavier Worthy. I like Leggett from South Carolina. There's other guys to like. But again, I think this top four stand alone when we're talking about the two LSQ kids, Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And that's, to me, like, where's the Bills' mindset? Do they think they got to get one of those guys, the difference maker, right? Or are they going to be like, hey, one of these other really good ones might not be a superstar like a Roman Wilson. Do we want to trade up in the second round and make sure we get him somewhere? That's going to be the juggling act they got to figure out or what they're going to do. But by all due accounts, Mike, here would be the first thing I would say is that, you know, neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s and Odunze are going to be gone within the top 12 to 14 picks, it seems like, which then leaves only Brian Thomas Jr., right, that could be the guy you can make a move for. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, at least.
Yeah, and look, they Bills fans will remember the year that they made the bold move up for Sammy Watkins when they could have just stayed put for OBJ or Aaron Donald. So you're going to have some nervous Buffalo fans when you introduce the concept of trading up for a receiver, but that's going to be the only way to get the guy they want. And they've got that extra second rounder next year that was the net gain, not the net gain, because they had to give up a couple of mid-round, late-round picks
thing
to get Diggs, but they do have Houston's, which was originally Minnesota's, second-round pick for 2025 that they could dangle to try to move up.
What do you think they're going to do? What do you think's a Bills type of move if you put yourself in Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, that organization? Do you think it's a, hey, we're going to be aggressive and go get a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., right, who's super talented, little raw? You know, I've heard there's, you know, an off the field thing or two, right, that, you know, is probably stop him from being a top 12 or 15 pick, right? But do you think they're going to be that team that sits back and kind of just lets it fall and maybe make a play in the second round? Or do you think they're going to be aggressive in round one and try to really, you know, shake things up?
I think they're going to want to move up. They're not going to want to pay too much to move up, and that could be the thing that keeps them from moving up very far. Because look, the Vikings are dealing with this perception that they're desperate to move up to get a quarterback. That makes the price go up. That justifiably allows the other team to put both thumbs and the rest of their hands on the scale and drive up the price. I look at the Seahawks at 16, because we know that John Schneider loves to trade down.
Yep.
If they're thinking maybe a quarterback and the guy that they would want isn't there, I don't know. But if the guy they really covet isn't there at 16, then I would say that's a potential hot spot for the Bills to trade up, because we know from experience that the Seahawks are not averse to trading down. So I'd say the window for a trade opens as a practical matter around 16. And, you know, we'll see who's there. And we'll see if that's ultimately what happens for the Bills. But they're going to do something. And, hey, OBJ is still out there. Tyler Boyd is still out there. There are other options. They could trade for somebody who maybe becomes less relevant to a team based upon who they draft. There are other avenues for the Buffalo Bills to pursue. And as Brandon Bean said when they traded Stephon Diggs 12 days ago, we don't have to have our final team until September 1.
There's a part of me
that's the point. There's a lot to still be done.
Right, right, right. I think to your point there, they're not going to be so desperate that they're going to mortgage the farm or the future just to get the guy or a receiver, right? There is a part of me that thinks maybe they're going to take the 2022 version of the Kansas City Chiefs and just go, you know what? We're going to do it with a group, right? A group of guys, and we're going to do it as an offense, and we're not going to worry about, oh, one guy, and we got to do this and do that and do that. We're going to run the offense and spread the ball out evenly to where the defense tells Josh Allen to throw the football, and we're not going to have an agenda of we got to get this rookie star receiver or Stephon Diggs the ball. There's a part of me that thinks maybe that's what they might do up there. Maybe they've had enough of the number one diva receiver type of thing. Maybe they're just going to go, hey, we got two good tight ends. We got a pretty good group of receivers. Let's add one more guy, like to your point, whether that's a veteran or maybe a second or third round pick, something like that. Throw him in the conversation where we're going to be fine. Maybe they're going to go that route. I wouldn't be shocked if they did that. I would not.
Well, think about it. What were they losing by way of production? So they don't have as much to replace as if they'd moved on from Diggs in a past year, because he didn't have a 100-yard game after week 6. He had 21 yards, I think, on 3 catches in the loss to the Chiefs in the playoffs. So the production that needs to be replaced isn't as daunting as it would have been. I think that needs to be a factor as well. So I don't think they're going to overpay to trade up, but I'll watch as of pick 16 to see if something gets done with the Seahawks. All right, we'll take a break. When we return, Jared Goff looks back on the trade from 3 years ago that made him a Lion and changed his life in ways he had never imagined. More PFT Live right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
In hindsight, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me for my career and my development as a human. But I was shocked. I was you know, confused. You know, all the different emotions of what happened. When did you know it go sour? How did this all go this way? And so that lasted for quite some time. But then I think very soon after that was the feeling of like opportunity in Detroit.
Jared Goff on the Trading Cards podcast. Apparently one of the two hosts played football with him, went to school with him at Cal. I noticed the distinctive bottle of Don Julio 1942 in the background, which, by the way, the guy he was traded for was carrying around at the Super Bowl celebration after Matthew Stafford and the Rams won it all in the first year after the trade. You know, Chris, Jared Goff was the hot potato in this trade. hot potato without question. Two first-round picks and a third-round pick from the Rams to the Lions with Matthew Stafford. Or no, yes. Jared Goff, two first-round picks, third-round pick for Matthew Stafford. An extra first-round pick, widely believed, was tucked into the deal to get the Lions to take the Goff contract off their hands with over $54 million in full guarantees that still were in existence. The Rams wanted to be done with it, and now he's turned into the guy for the Lions. It's great. The Lions got their quarterback, two first-round picks, and a third-round pick out of the deal. It's a sneaky great haul for the Lions, even though the Rams won a Super Bowl with the guy they got.
Yeah, no. I mean, it kind of worked out for both sides there, right? I mean, you know, again, I don't think things were ever – you know, as good the play at the position of quarterback when Jared Goff was the Rams as maybe the general public thought. They won games. The stats look pretty good. But as you always heard me tell you, it was one Sean McVay special after another, right? It was always like, oh, here you go. Here's a guy wide open. Here's a screen to Todd Gurley. He's going to run for 70 yards. We're going to make you look good, right? The play wasn't good enough to when they played defenses that were good or whatever else, he couldn't get it done. So they had had enough. And, of course, they won out with getting Matthew Stafford and doing that. But, you know, slowly but surely, and Detroit's the great version of, hey, build a team, build around the guy's strengths. Let's try to limit the weaknesses, right? The transformation that Jared Goff has made since he's been there, it's incredible. I mean, let's just think about this. Halfway through the 2022 year, we were like, I mean, Jared Goff's just a loser. He's a loser. They're just going to lose every game if it's not at home or whatever else. I mean, 2021, of course, was 3-10. And then 2022, right, we were making jokes at one point. Like, he can only win a game if they're at home or whatever. There was, like, something we talked about where they were, you know, started off that year. But then they kind of brought it all together. The team got better. They started to figure out what's best for Jared Goff. And through that, they groomed him, and he's become more and more confident. And they've expanded the playbook around those things he does well. And the team has continued to get better as well, too. And now, yeah, like you're right. They got a guy here where we were going a year and a half ago. He's not the long-term answer. They're going to have to do something else to, like, oh, damn, I mean, Jared might be the long-term answer here. Good for him.
We've talked in the not-too-distant past about the obligation of teams who don't have that natural-born leader at the position to do the things necessary to boost him. And I feel like Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have done that with Jared Goff, and he's evolved into a better player than he was with the Rams. And now you've got this final year of the contract in Detroit, very reasonable $25 million. It's less. It's just under $25 million, I think, or maybe it's a little over, but still, it's not high-end by any stretch. And now they've got to figure out what they're going to do to extend this. Do they do it before the season, during the season, after the season? They've got Hendon Hooker, third-round pick from last year.
Right. How much of it is decisions. Ben Johnson, the great offensive coordinator? I mean, there's a lot of things to look out here. This is another one, like the Tua conversation, to me is a very delicate quarterback negotiation where you want him to feel good, you want him to be the leader of the team, but I don't know if he's so talented that I'm going to ruin the team over it and throw him extra money that way. And that's where they got to figure that fine line out for me, Mike, at least.
Three teams who made the playoffs last year, starting quarterbacks going into this year, we have no idea whether or not they're going to be back in 25. Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, and Lions, Jared Goff. Quick break, more PFT Live right after this. Lamar Jackson showing up for the first day of the offseason program 2024, Phase 1. 25 teams open today. Seven had already started. Those with the new coaches were allowed to go early. There's Aaron Rodgers, if that's really him, heading into the Jets facility. First phase is very simple. Meetings and lifting and conditioning. The Chiefs are doing a virtual phase one. I've been trying to find out if Rashee Rice is going to be there. Apparently nobody's going to be there. We haven't talked about Rashee Rice today. I mean, he's turned himself in on felony charges, and NFL hasn't done anything. Chiefs haven't done anything, but he's not going to be walking into the facility today. No one's going to be, which I guess gives them a little more time to figure out what they're going to do. But that's where things stand with him. We're waiting for that. We'll see more videos of guys showing up. Meanwhile, DeForest Buckner will be showing up with more money in his pockets. According to ESPN, a two-year extension worth $46 million. I'll defer until we get the actual details to see if there's any fluff or BS in those numbers, because frankly, we've learned over time that there often is. Supposedly the fifth highest paid player based on the value of the extension at $23 million at the defensive tackle position. But again, we'll see. We'll see where he fits when we see the deal within the hierarchy of defensive tackles, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, listen, he's still in that hierarchy conversation, right? Do I think some of the young bucks have passed him up a little bit? Certainly, right? I mean, we've seen that, and I think they've been paid accordingly to kind of show that. But, man, DeForest Buckner is still one hell of a football player. He really is. There is no question who the best defensive player on the Indianapolis Colts is. That's big DeForest Buckner right in the middle. He had an incredible year last year, right? He does everything right. He's a good worker. He's a good leader. I certainly can understand Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen wanting to reward him and be the pillar of success there for that football team. So good for him and good for the Colts.
30 years old. The question is, how many more years can he continue to take that pounding? We raised that question with Chris Jones, but he's had the extension on the back end of the current deal. And as we said earlier, they rip up the deal. It's a new contract. I'll see what the entire new contract is worth. We'll do the full analysis when we get the numbers, hopefully later today at PFT. Let's take a break. When we return, in honor of the Masters and that kind of ugly, when you think about it, green jacket, we'll do a draft of the best traditions in all of sports. That's next here on PFT Live. There is Scottie Scheffler getting... He looks like a mashup of like a bunch of different guys, doesn't he? I never really thought about that. But, you know, I don't know. Scottie Scheffler looks like a bunch of different guys molded into one.
Well, he's a
like,
little...
We talked about Andrew Luck. He's got a little Andrew Luck going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I hear you there. I do. I hear you. I think that's a little part of, like, you know, whatever the reason is or, you know, embracing this guy. He might not have, like, the sex appeal we've seen, right, or a style or whatever. But, damn, I mean, what he's doing in golf right now, he's dominating. I mean, it's clearly, like... Clearly the best golfer in golf. It's not a discussion, right? You hear the announcers during the thing yesterday. It's like no doubt about it. Who's going to challenge him, right? We brought Brooks Koepka as the guy. He's got, what, four or five majors on his resume? But, man, he's not playing in the same stratosphere as Scheffler, so be interesting. But I do like that tradition of the green jacket. I don't think it's so ugly. I don't think it's so ugly. How dare you say that?
Do they still do that interview in the weird little room that never changes?
Butler's cabin? Yes, of course.
You know, that weird little room that has never changed.
Right.
Which kind of makes sense, because how much has Augusta National really changed? They want you to think it's different. Has it really changed? That's a different issue altogether. I digress.
Yeah, just digress and enjoy the freaking moment. And we're talking about something happy
anyway.
And positive, and it's a great tournament. It's one of the coolest traditions we got in our country.
So let's ignore
you
anything
snarky
else
bastard, you.
By the way, gold jacket, green jacket, to quote the great Happy Gilmore, who gives a shit? They wouldn't put it on the screen, but I'll say it. There he is. By the way, they're doing a sequel.
I heard. That's going
to
be awesome.
Gilmore.
That's going to be awesome.
My only concern is they waited too long. There won't be. Wait, did Chubbs die in the first one?
No. Yeah, Chubbs died. He fell out the window and got run over by a bus, I believe.
All right. Well, never mind. They'll need a new Chubbs.
Or no, he just fell out of the window and died. His hand, wooden hands, Kadarius Toney's other hand, right? That got run over by the bus. That's what that was.
Okay. Anyway, they're doing a sequel for Happy Gilmore 25 years later.
Yes.
Best sports traditions, all sports, any sports, whatever you got, what do you got?
Well, I don't even like – I'm not a huge fan of this sport, but I think this tradition is, like, awesome. I got to go with the day with the Stanley Cup, right? The day with, like, you get to bring home the Stanley Cup and have it in your house and have family over and party and drink out of it and do whatever – right, I think that is one of the cooler things in all of professional sports, how each member of the team gets an allotted amount of time with it, and you get to enjoy it and do all of that. I love that aspect there.
Some of the stories over the years, though, of the desecration of the cup, like it gets bent, it's in a pool.
Yes.
Like,
right.
I mean, come on, let's show
respect
some respect for
bit,
this
right.
iconic sports trophy. I'm going to stick with hockey because this is the first sports tradition I ever became aware of, and it still kind of is cemented into my psyche.
Yeah.
The throwing of hats onto the ice after a hat trick. And it's like, I remember thinking, those hats aren't cheap. You're just giving your hat away. What happens to all the hats? What do they do with all the hats? Do they get their hats back? So I just always thought that was such a neat thing when the guy gets the third goal and off go the hats. You better be willing to give up that hat for good. And hats ain't cheap. But I just remember seeing that when I was a kid. And you could imagine, I wasn't much different at age 7 than I am now. Sitting there worrying about all the things about retrieving the hat. And why would you throw away a perfectly good hat? It's a moment that passes. The hat lasts forever. Anyway, I like
well,
that.
The hat's better than when they throw fish on the ice. That one I'll go. I mean, then we're just gonna waste animals and food and just throw it on the ice for a hockey game. That one is always, I'm like, what? The screw your hat.
They still might eat it.
Weren't they
putting catfish on the ice in Nashville? I think they do octopus or octopi in Detroit for some reason. All right, what else you got?
Well, I got to go where, you know, it hits home with me a little bit. The Gatorade bath. Yeah, the Gatorade bath is one of the coolest things in all of sports. And of course, it was kind of invented by the 1986 New York Football Giants. So it's got a special place in my heart right there. Right. They were the team that kind of glorified it and made it a thing. Second week of the NFL season that year, it started with Harry Carson hiding in the sidelines, trying to get Bill Parcells, Mr. Strict, Angry, Tough Guy, I'm Bill Belichick. It was their way to like, hey, loosen up. Hey, cool off a little bit. We won the game, right? And it became a thing. So the Gatorade bath, great tradition. I still love it. And we're betting on it for the Super Bowl this day and age. There it is. That's the
second
one.
With inside information, there was some suspicious betting activity because somebody knows the color of the Gatorade ahead of time and somebody wagered accordingly. So that may be something that is not available in future Super Bowls. This is something that doesn't happen all that often anymore, if it happens at all, because it creates very real safety risks. But there was nothing like the scene, typically at a college football game, when they take down the goalposts and carry them away. And again, it's very unsafe. And I remember when we used to go to the West Virginia games, they had some contraption where, after a big win, like down come the goalposts right away, and there's nothing to take, and they're guarded by state police, so the hooligans out there running around on the field can't take it. But just those images of the goalpost coming down, the goalpost being carried away, being sawed up and, you know, distributed to whoever, that I kind of like it, even though I don't condone it. It's very unsafe. Don't do it anymore. But I do enjoy my memories of seeing goalposts torn down when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's still cool. It is. I mean, even when I was in college, I remember once we went to Baylor. And we went to the walkthrough at the stadium the day before, and they had put like gel all over the goalpost, like they were going to upset us. They were expecting to upset us, so they did that so they couldn't tear it down. Well, I don't
know. Maybe Mac Brown's the one who put the gel on
either
the goalpost.
It led to an ass whooping of the Baylor Bears. That's what it did lead to. I can tell you that much. all right. I'm staying at home. I'm staying with the 86 Giants. I'm sorry.
I know where you're going. You know, I know where you're going.
I mean,
literally.
When your damn family member is the first person to start this tradition, I feel like it's my right to take this in the draft. I'm going to Disney World. I mean, AKA the big effer's first lines ever on national TV. Right? He was the first guy to ever do it. I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to Disneyland. Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing that my dad was a part of, and I gotta take that one.
I've said before, your brother Matt looks just like him. That is your brother Matt. That's
it
not
is.
Phil.
It is.
That's your brother.
Yes.
My God, unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, they did the I'm going to Disney World thing with Dawn Staley from South Carolina last week, and I think she was so kind of overcome in the moment when Holly Rose set her up for the line. It took a half second to register what she was supposed to say.
right.
Which makes sense because it's ESPN, ABC, and Disney World. It's all one big happy family. But it did take her about a half second to remember, oh, yeah, that's my cue to say I'm going to Disney World. All right. I don't know. I guess I got to go Terrible Towel. I got one here somewhere.
Oh,
Terrible
do
you? Towel really is awesome.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them floating around
we
here.
We know.
But the Myron Cope invention, there's no real reason for it. There's no connection to Pittsburgh Steelers. It's he had this idea, let's wave a towel around. I remember, and it might have been something that was lifted from the Dolphins, because this was before your time, but they used to wave like white hankies.
Yeah.
And it looked weird.
Right.
Like, because back in the day, like, men used to carry around this disgusting cloth that they would blow their noses and spit
into. And then put it back in their pocket.
Disgusting. Disgusting. My dad had one, and I just remember when I first time I saw it, it's like, well, now, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
You're putting it back?
And you're going to touch it again later and do that same thing again?
But maybe Myron Cope decided to go next level with the terrible towel. But the terrible towel is awesome. All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up this Monday edition. Hanky free of PFT Live right after this.
Thought you were going to go with the Vikings. I don't know. Pipe.
Giddy up, giddy
my
up.
My boy Blue. Showing up for work, if that's even him.
You're funny.
I think I am now going to, anytime we show a video of anyone, I'm going to say, if that's even him.
Ooh.
Because we can't be sure. There's always a chance. There's always a chance that it's not him. So on the one occasion it really isn't the guy, I'll be right if I always say, if that isn't him. Do you see that Micah Parsons wants to be the kick returner for the Cowboys under this new?
Wow.
Formation.
That would be awesome. I'd love to see it. I mean, he could do it. He's that type of athlete. He is that guy that could, like, you know, break a tackle or find a seam and run away from everybody. A rare linebacker that could do it. I'm not sure they're going to want him to do that, though. He's kind of got a value to the team.
The whole idea is there's a reduced risk of injury because we don't have the high-speed collisions, but there are still collisions. Like, this will be a thing until somebody tears an ACL like Jason Sehorn did, and then everybody will stop.
Maybe. It might take that, right? But the good thing is, it does seem like, hey, if you're a returner, the guys are right there. You shouldn't get hit by people you don't see coming. And hopefully it is more safe and more exciting than what we've had.
That's it for today. I'm Mike Florio. He's Chris Sims, if that's even him.
See ya.
See you tomorrow.
You're funny.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.